You know, sometimes you have to make yourself rejoice. Because if you allow what you're going through, you'll never rejoice. Sometimes you have to turn the switch. You know, there's a automatic switch and then there's a manual switch. Sometimes you don't automatically feel like being on fire. But then there's a manual switch where you have to put forth some effort and turn that switch anyhow. Sometimes when you come to the house of the Lord, you don't feel like praising the Lord because you got a lot on your mind. But there's a manual switch that you have to turn on by yourself anyhow. And like Job says, though you slay me. Oh, y'all not walking with me. Though you slay me, I'm still going to trust you and still going to serve you. In the good times and the bad, amen. Last week we discussed from the title, the benefits of fearing God. The benefits of fearing God. And as the music stops, we're going to go ahead and get started. We talked about the benefits of fearing God. And today we're going to talk about the dangers of drifting away from God. Oh, y'all not walking with me this morning. But it's okay. Hopefully you'll be walking with me before we say amen. But last week we talked about Job, right? And we talked about the benefits of fearing God. There are some investments. When you fear God, you are investing in the power of God. So when you go through things that make you powerless, the power of God will show up in your life when you're most powerless. But today we're going to talk about a different group, because we know Job was a righteous man, and we know Job was a God-fearing man. But there's a different group we're going to talk about today, and that's those who are believers, but they drift from God. Have you ever been there? Have you ever found yourself drifting away from God? Not believing the way you used to believe. Questioning God instead of serving God. Now, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but you normally start to doubt God. Then you start questioning God. Then you start disobeying God. And then you start defying God. And that's the difference between disobeying God and defying God. Now, they're in the same family, but they're not identical twins. See, you can love God and make a decision to disobey God and get back on the horse and start obeying God again. We've all been there, right? You knew you were supposed to do this, but you didn't do it. That's disobeying God. But when the Holy Spirit convicts us, we say, Lord, forgive me. Let me get that right. All right? But when you get to the level of defying God, you have made yourself a staunch enemy of God himself. Now, when you defy God, this is not just leaving the church. This is when you leave the church and start talking trash about the church. And when you start saying what they're preaching is not even the truth. That's when you have fallen into the realm of defying God. And let me tell us something. When you get to that stage, you're pretty much at the last stage before God take you out of here. And we're going to see a man who got to that stage and God took him out of here. King Saul is his name. King Saul of his name. Notice I said King Saul, not peasant Saul. King Saul, not criminal Saul. King Saul, not someone who didn't have no power, Saul. See, sometimes you can become so great in life that you can forget that you're still a servant. You can become so blessed and prosperous in life that you can forget that you still have to answer to God. And King Saul was anointed by God, but King Saul got too big for his title. And he started to defy God in several different ways. Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 28. 1 Samuel chapter 28. And there are only 3 points that I want to leave with us today. The dangers of drifting away from God. And whether you know it or not, you know when you're drifting from God. And there's something in all believers that there's like a alarm switch that goes off. You know when you're drifting. Your vocabulary changes. Your language changes. You know, you start to become, you know, you're not as, you don't have a short account of sin anymore. Just kind of just say, hey, it is what it is. You have this nonchalant attitude, this cavalier attitude towards the fear of God. Matter of fact, you don't even fear God anymore when you start to drift away from God. As a matter of fact, you'll get to a point you will call God a liar when you start drifting away from God. You will start blaming God for all your problems instead of praising God that he can solve your problems that you do have. You'll start to accuse God and take the side of the devil himself, because in Revelations, the Bible says that he accuses the brethren day and night before God. So we start to adapt a philosophy that does not come from the word of God. Amen. We have 1 Samuel 28, say amen. It says, now it came about in those days that the Philistines, let the church say Philistines. Okay, the Philistines gathered their armed camps of war to fight against Israel. And Achish said to David, know assuredly you will go out with me in the camp, you and your men. David said to Achish, very well, you shall know what your servants can do. So Achish said to David, very well, I will make you my bodyguard for life. Hold on 1 minute. I don't think y'all are from a Bible scholars here. Who did David kill when he was 17 years old with a smooth stone? Goliath. Goliath came from the country of Gath. Goliath was a Philistine. Achish is the king of the Philistines. How is it that David, who's an Israelite, has so much respect from the enemies of God, that Achish is saying, man, I'm so impressed with you, I want you to fight with me? Because you got to understand, during this time, King Saul has been trying to murder David. David is on the run from Saul. There were several opportunities. Matter of fact, there was one case in a cave. Saul went to go use the restroom, and David cut off some of his robe and showed Saul his robe and said, look, man, I could have killed you, but because I fear God and because I respect your position, you know, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to leave that up to God. Now, this is a beautiful thing. You don't have to fight your own battle. The people that's trying to destroy your character, assassinate your character, make you look bad, or make, you don't have to fight them. Even when you have opportunities to. There are many people that we can cut off their robe and show them, this is what I could do if I really wanted to get in the flesh. But God is saying, don't get in the flesh, just get in faith. Y'all not walking with me? Don't get in the flesh, get in faith. Because see, faith unlocks a door. And God knows when it's time to deal with your true enemies. See, God was going to kill Saul off anyway. So David didn't have to get his hands dirty by fighting with King Achish to fight against his own people. But David had to be so wise and savvy and wise, he wasn't giving King Achish straight up answers. He was giving him these ambiguous and vague answers that King Achish didn't know what side David was on. So you got to understand, David traveled with a strong crew of brothers. They were called the men of valor. And these men, it was like over 500, 600 of them. But these guys were so tough, they were like Navy SEALs around David. And these guys were well-trained soldiers who once fought in the army of Saul. But Saul was trying to kill them as well. Y'all remember that? They were on the run from Saul himself. And at the cave of Adullam, they met up with David. And David said, the same enemy that wants you wants to kill me. So we might as well join forces and become one army. Are you with me? Let me tell us something, saints. The same enemy that wants to take me out wants to take you out. So we might as well fight together. Are you with me? What verse did we stop on? Verse 3. Now Samuel was dead. Now Samuel plays a key role in this chapter because Samuel was the greatest judge that Israel ever had. He was the most righteous judge that Israel ever had. There was a time that Israel did not have physical kings, so God appointed judges. You know, Samson was a judge, but we know how his story ended up. But Samuel was a righteous judge, all right? So Samuel was also a prophet, and Samuel was the speaker box of God himself. So God spoke through Samuel when it came to anointing the next king. It was Samuel who anointed Saul, but it was also Samuel who anointed David. Are you with me? But this says Samuel is dead. And all Israel had lamented him and buried him in Ramoth, his own city, and Saul had removed. Now let me before I get here, because I don't want to rush, before I get into this scripture, hold your finger here. And my first point I want to leave with you, the one danger of drifting from God is that you will start to ignore the voice of God. Write that down. That's the first point. The first thing you will do when you're drifting away from God, you will start to ignore the voice of God. Now, hold your finger here, and we're going to see why God was so upset with Saul. Turn, same book, chapter 15. We're going to get back to 28. Chapter 15 of 1 Samuel. We're going to see the very thing Saul did to cause God to strip his kingdom away from him and his anointing. Is everyone with me? All right. When you have chapter 15, say amen. We'll start at verse 1. Then Samuel said to Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint you as what?" So now you saw it in the scriptures, right? "Sent me to anoint you as king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore, listen to the words of who?" Verse 2. "Thus says the Lord of who?" Okay. Now, isn't it, this is ironic. A lot of times in the scriptures, you'll see, "Thus saith the Lord God," or "Thus saith the Lord of Israel," or "Thus saith the Lord your God." But in this particular text, he says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts." Now, we got to ask ourselves a question. What does the word hosts mean? It's plural. Now, heavenly hosts are angels. And all through the scriptures, when God would step in and intervene to fight the battles for Israel, he would use his angels, right? Now, there's one particular scripture, I always forget where it's at, but one angel killed 180,000 soldiers in one night. One angel. Oh, let that get in our spirit. One angel. Heavenly hosts means a myriad upon myriad of angels. This is thousands upon ten thousands upon ten thousands upon ten thousands of angels. Y'all remember when Jesus was dying on the cross? And the Bible says that he could have called down 10,000 angels? You can't make a call if you're not a shot caller. Y'all not getting this. You can't make a call like that if you don't call the shots. Catch this. So the Lord of hosts has to be talking about Jesus, because he's Lord above all. So the Lord above all, who can call down like that 10,000 angels, if one angel can take out 180,000 soldiers, not civilians, soldiers who are armed to the teeth, who are well trained to endure difficult climates, who are trained to kill on sight, one angel in one night can kill 180,000 well-trained soldiers. What can a host do? So Samuel is coming to Saul in the right flavor. He's basically saying, Saul, before you listen to what I have to say, let me tell you where I got this word from. I got this word not just from the Lord, but he's the Lord of hosts. So that should cause your ears to perk up and say, let me listen. Because if one angel can, let me listen. I don't want to be on God's bad side, right? So he said, the Lord of hosts, I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel. All right? How he set himself against him on the way while he was coming from Egypt. Oh, my God. The children of Israel had overcome 450 years of slavery in Egypt. Now, they had Egypt's army to deal with. But as they're leaving Egypt, Amalek decided to jump in and say, we're going to fight you too. See, let me tell us something. Just because you come out of one slavery doesn't mean another slave master is not trying to enslave you. Walk with me. It was enough for the Israelites to fight Egypt. But then you got to fight an enemy you don't even, an unknown enemy you don't even know about. They're attacking you just because. So God is saying, I didn't forget none of that. Because God has a great memory. And he says, you know what? I'm going to punish Amalek for jumping into my business. And he says, for what he did to who? How he set himself against Israel on the way while he was coming up from Egypt. Verse 3. Now go and strike Amalek. And he's talking through Samuel to Saul. And what? Utterly means completely. Completely destroy some. Three quarters. All that he has. And do not spare him. Oh, y'all got to catch this. See, God wasn't playing in the Old Testament. And he's still not playing now. We're just in a dispensation of grace right now. This is a different dispensation. We got to understand that truth before we get all bent out of shape that God would talk like this. All right? Now catch this. God said, just in case you don't understand what all mean, let me break it down to you what I want you to kill. Now go and strike Amalek and utterly destroy all that he has and do not spare him, but you put to death. He didn't say capture or imprison. He said put to death both man and woman and child and infant and ox and sheep and camel and donkey. Wipe their whole generation off the face of the earth. Don't even let the dog live. Now, this is the part of God we don't like to talk about. God is a God of war. He's just not the God of love. And this is not the side of God that you want to see, amen? Now, go down in the same scripture, chapter 17. Let's see what if Saul did what God told him to do. Samuel said, is it not true, though you were little in your own eyes, you were made to head the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed you king over Israel? Verse 18, and the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go and what? Utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are what? Exterminated. Now, I don't know if you ever saw an Orkin commercial where they exterminate roaches. All right, and then, you know, but if one roach is in your house, that's too many. And there's a reason why you want to kill off all roaches, because a roach. Let me give you the characteristics of a roach. Now, I don't want to gross nobody out. A roach can live a year without food. They can live a whole year without eating anything. And I'm not even going to go with everything they do, but they spread disease. We know that. Spread disease. Cause skin problems. all these type of things are due to roaches. Roaches can eat anything. No, roaches can survive nuclear blast. I mean, they'll get killed if they get blasted by it, but they will outlive us if there were a nuclear bomb to go off. Roaches are very resilient. One roach egg has 500 roaches in it. I don't want to gross you out. I just want to talk about why Orkin is so important and why we call them the exterminator. Okay? When you exterminate something, it's beyond terminating it. Sounds the same, doesn't it? When you terminate something, you kill it. But when you exterminate something, you kill the whole generation. There's something called homicide. Homo means one. It means man. You killed a man. But then there's something called genocide. Gen means group of men. Generation. So there's a difference if we were to use the Nazis and the Jews. The Nazis were not just committing homicide. Hitler was trying to commit genocide. That's why over 12 million Jews were exterminated in World War, I think it was two, one, I don't want to get it, I've been out of history a long time, but he was trying to wipe out the entire race of Jewish people, of Jewish descent. So there's the difference between terminating and exterminating. Because if you leave one, you really left 500, and they reproduce very fast. This is why Pharaoh wanted to kill off all the male children back in Egypt. Because if you have an Egyptian take on a Hebrew woman, then that Hebrew woman can never produce a full Hebrew. So we'll keep the women, just kill off the men. Because we have to dilute the race where we're not producing Hebrews. And now if you have an Egyptian man and a Hebrew-Arab woman, 9 times out of 10, he's going to take the dominant role and she's going to start worshiping Yahweh and start worshiping Ra. Oh, man, y'all got to catch this. Does that make sense to anybody? So God told Saul, you need to not just terminate the Amalekites, you need to exterminate them off the face of the earth. And Samuel's rebuking Saul, and he says, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are exterminated. Verse 19, why then did you not obey the what? But rushed upon the spoil and did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. This is why God snatched the kingdom from Saul, because he did not listen to the voice of God. And when we drift away from God, this is the first step that we may encounter. We will stop listening to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's job is to glorify Christ and to convict the Christian. Are you with me? Let's go to our second point. Are you still with me? I didn't lose anybody, did I? Is it making sense? All right. Okay, back to, we're going to stay here the rest of the sermon, 1 Samuel 28. The second thing that happens when you drift from God, you open yourself up to demonic influence and deception. Once you stop listening to the voice of God, then there's another voice or group of voices you will start listening to. See, we all listen to a voice in life. You either listen to God or you listen to yourself. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, lean not to your own understanding. I can't understand until I first hear a voice. You don't understand nothingness. A voice or some commands or some directives must be understood. So what voice are we listening to on a daily basis? Are we listening to the voice of God that comes through his word? Or are we listening to our own voice? All right? This is a question we must ask ourselves at all times. But we open ourselves up to demonic influence and deception. Notice I didn't say demonic possession. I said demonic influence and deception. See, what did Jesus tell Peter right before he was about to go to the cross? He said, Peter, the devil has requested to sift you, but I have prayed for you. Notice, he didn't say, Peter, the devil has requested to possess you, because we believe that you are possessed by the Holy Spirit. And if you are possessed by the Holy Spirit, you cannot be possessed by a demon. Because a demon is not more powerful than the Holy Ghost. Now, just because you can't be possessed by a demon doesn't mean you can't be controlled by a demon nonetheless. Because you are controlled by the voice that you listen to. Now, if you're a parent of a teenager, you know what I'm talking about. You can raise your children, set the family standards, set the family rules and guidelines, but let it be another voice. Let it be a boyfriend or a girlfriend. And you got to check your children, like, where you get that from? Where you learn that from? Who else is talking to you? You know what we stand for here. Then you see the rebellion come out. That rebellion doesn't come out of a vacuum of an empty hole. That rebellion comes from a voice. When that outside voice don't agree with the in-house voice, then you're going to get rebellion because they don't agree. So we have to understand where are these voices coming from. Some of us are being controlled by the voice of our past prior to salvation. So we got to say, okay, this voice is from my past. I'm a new creation in Jesus Christ. Old things are passed away. All things are new. So this voice that I'm listening to is from my past. Now these voices don't die. They just get locked away. Is anybody with me? Y'all mighty quiet today. Lord have mercy. But it's boy, if I haven't done this as long as I have, I would be sweating up here and scared. Voice would be cracking. But it's all good. Y'all love me and I love y'all. I'm home. This is not a guest church, so I'm home. Okay. Well, what do you mean demonic influences, Brother Ricks? Look at verse 3 of 28 and 14, 3 through 14. You have it, say amen. Now Samuel was dead, and Israel had lamented him and buried him in Ramoth, his own city. And Saul, let the church say Saul. And Saul had removed from the land those who were mediums and spiritists. Let me say that again, church folk. Mediums and spiritists. Translation, fortune tellers, horoscope. Did you read your horoscope this morning? You a Cancer, what's your sign? You ever heard people talk like that? Y'all know how I get. I'm a Taurus. You know how we Tauruses get. I'm more Christians. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. You know how cranky Capricorns get. Scorpio, you can't trust them. And I'm like, man, I was born in November too. Can I be trusted? But see, my sign is a cross. My sign is not a scorpion. My sign is not a bull. My sign is not a whatever other signs they have. And these things are rooted in witchcraft. And if you're dependent on a horoscope from a newspaper or magazine to tell you what your life is going to be, then the Holy Spirit, you don't give him no opportunity to lead you and guide you into the purpose and destiny that God has for you. The Holy Spirit has to lead me, not a newspaper, not a horoscope. But the mediums, they use the tarot cards and they read palms and crystal balls and, you know, they read roots. Y'all African Americans know about roots. Somebody put roots on you and stuff like that. That stuff is real. You don't play with that stuff because you're messing with a den of demons when you do that. And God tells you stay away from that. Now, the reason why I wanted y'all to say Saul, because we're going to see what Saul did. See, oh my gosh, Saul was the one who removed the fortune tellers out of the kingdom. Well, we're going to see what Saul did this time. And then we're going to come back and bring up a point. What verse did I stop at, saints? 4. So the Philistines gathered together and came and camped in Shunem. And Saul gathered all Israel together, and they camped in Gilboa. When Saul saw the camp of the Philistines, he was what? And his heart trembled greatly. When Saul inquired of the Lord did not what? Notice, it didn't say the Lord didn't hear him. It said the Lord didn't answer him. God is not deaf. But if you ignore his voice, he will choose not to answer you. Now, this puts you in a very bad position. Now, a lot of times, we don't see the reality of us drifting from God until we face a crisis. Now, there was a crisis of the Philistines setting their army and military up to attack Israel. Saul saw how outnumbered he was. He saw that this event caused him stress. See, stress will get you in a lot of trouble, won't it? When you're stressed out, you cannot think straight. So you quickly go to God. But if God don't answer you fast enough, you'll lean to your own understanding. That's normally how it works. So Saul is saying, God is not answering me. God is not answering me. So I'm going to lean to my own understanding. God, if you're taking too long, I got a situation that's in my face and you're not moving. So that's all right. You don't have to move. I'm going to move. So let's see what he did. What verse did I stop on? 6. When Saul inquired of the Lord did not what? Either by dreams or by Urim or by prophets. In the Old Testament, this is how God confirmed things, through dreams and the Urim and by the prophets. Then Saul, let the church say, then Saul, said to his servants, seek for who? A woman. Who is a what? That I may go to her and inquire of her. For his servant said to him, behold, there is a woman who is a medium at Endor. This is a witch. Now catch this. If you want to find some dirt, you can always find some dirt. Oh, man, y'all not walking with me. If you want to know what some illegal stuff is, you can find out what some illegal stuff is. If you want to find out what some drugs are, you can find what some drugs are. Oh, man, we can go on and on about things we shouldn't be doing as saints, right? But if you really get so bad off and you want to start doing your thing, you can find how to get yourself in a lot of trouble, can't you? It's easy to find trouble. And it's even easier for trouble to find you. Now, this contrasts with verse 5. Not verse 5. When we read that Saul had got rid of the mediums. Right? That's why I wanted y'all to read that. Because in the verse we read earlier, it says Saul himself, when he was walking with God, obeyed God. He said, get all these mediums and fortune tellers because this stuff is demonic. These are witches. They're bringing another god, another idol worship to our people. It's going to infect us, and we cannot worship the true and living God without this distraction, right? So we need to get rid of everybody, right? Move them on out. But when the rubber hits the road and God don't seem to be moving, he said, you know what? Let me go resort back to an inferior way of doing things. And we're the same way. When money gets tight, let me go get a scratch ticket. Oh, man, I know I done stepped on some toes, but don't raise your hand. Man, if I hit one good time, I don't got to win a million. If I win a good 1,500, I could pay this bill off. Because it don't seem like God is hearing me. Right? So let me resort to an inferior way of doing things. Let me go gamble. Let me go to the gambling house. Let me shoot some dice. Maybe I can get a quick $200. Let me do what I know I used to do. Amen? But when you do that, you open yourself up to demons. Now, let's look at, now, y'all hold your finger here. I promise y'all that I won't have y'all turn anywhere, so I'm going to keep to my promise. I'm going to turn to it. This is why this the mediums and the fortune tellers, God forbid that in Levitical law. In Leviticus chapter 19, verse 31, it says, do not turn to what? What does the screen say? Or what? Do not seek them out to be what? By them. I am the Lord your God. You know what God is saying? He said, I'm a jealous God. He's saying, look, if you want direction for your life, you got to get it only through me. And no matter how tempted it is to go to Madam West or whoever down the street, and I always ask myself this question, some of them are energized by demons, I will believe, but some of them are con artists. But I'm like, if you could tell the future, won't you just know what's on the lottery ticket, play the number, win $300 million, and you don't have to work anymore? You still got to pay a light bill. You understand what I'm saying? That's just common sense. Anyway, I digress. So he says, do not turn. Now notice, he said, don't turn. Remember we talked about last week, evil doesn't have to come looking for you. Evil is right there beside you every time you do good. What did Paul say in Romans? When I want to do good, evil is ever present. God don't get rid of the evil. He just commands you to do good. So God here is saying, don't turn to mediums and spiritists. Do not seek them out. Now this is the word. So you can't say you never got it from the word. So if you're still going to them and getting your palm read, then you disobeying the word of God. I just showed it. I can't get no clearer than that. It says, do not seek them out or be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. Now, in the next chapter, 26, it says, it's Leviticus again. Okay, good. As for the person who what? Turns to mediums and to what? To play the harlot after them. That's heavy talk right there. To play the harlot after them. I will also set my face. This is heavy. Against that person. You playing with these demons? Then that's going to be the least that you got to worry about, because you're playing with me now. I'm going to set my face against you. You think demons are big and bad. Demons can't move unless I say they move. I will set my face against that person and will what? Cut them off from among his people. Talk about a warning. This was in Leviticus. We're in the book of Samuel. This is before Samuel. So Samuel, Saul knew the truth, but he still did it anyway. See, you ever heard somebody say, when people know better, they do better? I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I used to. There's a lot of things I knew better, and I still didn't do better. Because I did the inferior thing and didn't do the better thing. I know that's bad grammar, but y'all get it. Now, I want to touch on something because this has infiltrated the church. Y'all do know witches go to church, right? No, witches do go to church. There are documentaries about witches that go to church, and they're members of churches. And they'll say, yeah, I do practice Wicca. You know, witches are not what people say they are. We're normal people. You know, all of us don't do bad things. right? Notice he said mediums and spiritists. He separated the two. You be careful of the church people. They say they got a spirit to interpret things. Now, I know I'm stepping on some toes now. Sister prophetess so-and-so got a spirit on her. Holy Spirit speaks directly through her. And she can tell your whole future in the name of Jesus. That's a spiritist. If you can't get it from the word, you don't need to get it from nowhere else. If you can't get it from the word and through prayer, because God will always line himself up with his word. As a matter of fact, he said, I've elevated my word above my name. So this, and they can wear a white dress, a big white hat, and sit in the front row, wear white gloves, that's still a spiritist. Even though she says she's a prophetess. Oh man, y'all got it. Just because I changed the label don't mean it's still not the same devilish spirit. And what happens is we as the church, we get bamboozled so many times because we want to give everybody an opportunity. And who am I to say they're not serving God? But if this person starts saying these prophecies over me and they're not using it with the word of God, that stuff is suspect. And we go back to them, and we go back to them, and we want a word from them, and we want them to speak over our lives. And God said, you have become a harlot to them. And y'all know what a harlot is. I only need to go into that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right. So we see that you open yourself up to demons when you do that. All right. Now, I didn't finish that. Back in 1 Samuel 28, let's look at verse 10. No, I'm sorry, verse 9. But the woman said, no, I'm sorry, let's go to verse 8. So let's go to verse 8. Let's get it right. When you have 8, say amen. Then Saul did what? See, he knew he was wrong. See, you don't put no hood on your head if you're not creeping. Y'all laughing. Y'all know how I am. But y'all know I'm telling the truth, right? When you slipping and sliding, peeping and hiding, you don't have no certain tie on walking like this. God is good. Come on, brother, where you at? Right? You can put on an overcoat, a hood, a hat, some sunshades, a fake mustache. Saul disguised himself, right? And I'm going to tell you, I know I made it kind of comical, but I'm being serious at the same time. When you know you're doing dirt, you can't do dirt. You got to disguise yourself, all right? He says he disguised himself by putting on what? All right, that's that mustache and fake beard. And went, and he and two men with him. You can always find somebody that's going to do dirt with you. You always got a shaky guy that you can count on when you want to be shaky. Man, we shouldn't be doing this, but all right, let's do it. Man, you don't care about nothing. Nah, I really don't. Always find somebody that's not on the up and up. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. But this is scary here. He says, he disguised himself, went, and he and two men with him, and they came to the woman by night. And he said, conjure up for me. You ever heard that term, conjure up? Conjure up a spirit. My granddad died when I was 5. I'm 46 now. And I need to know who my real father was. And it was said that he knew who he was. And I'm on this TV show, this popular TV show. And this spiritist or medium has a gift to talk to the dead. And I need to know who my father was. Y'all seen that. I see your father now. He has on gray pants and, you know, his name is Bill. And he's in the room right now. Some of that stuff is fake, but a lot of that stuff is real. Because when you're dealing with demons, Demons can camouflage themselves as people. And demons, you'll think it's, man, this stuff is heavy, all right? I don't want to lose anybody. Y'all still with me? He says, conjure up for me, please, and bring up for me whom I shall name to you. But the woman said to him, behold, you know that Saul, she don't know this is Saul yet. She said, you know that Saul has done, you know what Saul has done, how he has cut off those who are what? And what? From the land. All right? Why are you then laying a snare for my life to bring about my death? Saul vowed to her by the, oh my gosh. When you drift from God, you do some stupid and say some crazy. Did y'all hear what he said? He vowed to a witch by God. Look at this. Saul vowed to her by the Lord. The same one I showed you in Leviticus 19. He said, if you turn to a medium or a spiritist, keep reading your horoscopes every day. He says, I'm going to turn my face against you. Then you're going to turn around and use me. See, you start thinking crazy, man, when you drift from God. You start thinking real crazy. This is heavy. By the Lord? He vowed to her by the Lord? Oh, he goes further, guys. This is how deep we can get when we drift from God. As the Lord lives. Y'all see that? No punishment shall come upon you for this thing. How in the world can you speak for God himself? Oh, God ain't gonna do nothing to you if you do this for me. Matter of fact, by his name, he won't do nothing. This lady is conjuring up demons. God told you in the Levitical laws to cut these people off. And you're going to sit here and speak for God. But see, when you drift so far from God, you're getting so many voices. You're all messed up. And this could happen to all of us, can't it? Let's tell the truth, shame the devil now. No punishment will come upon you for this thing. Not knowing he's going to get killed himself. Then the woman said, whom shall I bring up for you? Now, this is a special case. And let me qualify it by saying this. God is above everything. All right, let me say this before we get into this, because I don't want to confuse anybody. God is above all spirits. And God will use whom he chooses. Because he's sovereign, all right? Sometimes God will use a demon to do his work. He doesn't always use angels to do his work. As a matter of fact, y'all remember when David was playing the harp because Saul was troubled by a spirit? Y'all remember that? And every time David played the harp, the spirit would leave Saul? That wasn't an angel, that was a demonic spirit. The Bible says that when the spirits were meeting with God, God said, who should I choose to torment Saul for me? And the Bible says an evil spirit said, I will do it, Lord. Read your Bibles. Read your Bibles. So evil spirits are subject to God's sovereignty. Y'all got that? Now, we're going to see this special case what God allowed to happen. This is heavy. Verse 12. When the woman, she said, whom should I bring up for you? After he said, bring up Samuel for me. When the woman saw Samuel, so this is not a fake medium here, guys. When she saw Samuel, she cried out with a loud voice. And the woman spoke to Saul, saying, why have you deceived me? For you are Saul. The king said to her, do not be afraid. But what do you see? Like, lady, I don't care about who I am. Tell me what you see. Because I'm desperate. All right? And the woman said to Saul, I see a divine being. Look at this. Notice. coming up out of the earth, a divine being. Divine means heavenly. God ordained. God established. Okay? A divine being coming up out of the earth. He said to her, what is his form? She said, an old man is coming up, and he is wrapped with a robe. And Saul knew that it was Samuel. And he bowed with his face to the ground and did homage. So while she's channeling Samuel, Saul is bowing down. All right? Then Samuel said to Saul, why have you disturbed me by bringing me up? Now let's talk about this. We'll go past this. I'm going to make a connection and comparison and contrast. Y'all remember Luke 16 about the rich man? The rich man was really an Old Testament character. The rich man died, all right? The rich man died, and the Bible says, in hell he lifted up his eyes. Now, this is why I say this was an Old Testament character. Because Jesus said, a certain rich man. Whenever the Lord uses the word certain, he's talking about a real person. This is not a fictitious, figurative speech he's using. And Jesus said, when the rich man died, immediately he was in torment. Now, if I'm in torment, I'm not going to use the word disturbed. Go back to the rich man. The rich man's in hell, right? But the Bible says there was a chasm between hell and paradise. And that was called Abraham's bosom. And the Bible says the rich man said to Abraham, 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 send Lazarus over to me that he would dip his finger in the water and cool my tongue, for I am in torments, plural. Okay? So there was a time prior to the death of Jesus Christ that when a saint died, they went to the bosom of Abraham. They didn't go up, they went to the bosom of Abraham. But the bosom of Abraham was directly across from hell. But the bosom of Abraham was still a sort of paradise because it was not a place of torment, it was a place of rest. Now David used the word Sheol. Sheol means the realm of the dead. But in the realm of the dead, you have two different compartments. You have the place of torment, i.e. the rich man, and then you have the place of rest, Abraham's bosom. But the entire place was called Sheol. I didn't lose anybody, did I? Okay, so now Samuel says, why do you disturb me? Y'all, raise your hand if you got married. If you been married before, got married. Normally, when you get married, you have your wedding, you go celebrate your honeymoon. Amen? And when you go to your hotel to celebrate your honeymoon with your wife, you put a tag on the door. The reason why, don't be on the edge of your seat, guys. The reason why you put that tag there is because you are enjoying your time with your spouse. Whether it's rest or recreation. Y'all are y'all out of it today. But you don't want nobody knocking on the door, right? Because you'd rather be behind that door than whatever's outside of that door. So we know that Samuel was not in hell, because a person can misinterpret this and say, well, if he came up, that means he must have died and gone to hell, going down to hell. No, he was in Abraham's bosom. And for him to say, why are you disturbing me, meaning that you're calling me for something that's inferior to what I'm dealing with. I'm happy where I'm at. I'm at peace where I'm at. And you are disturbing me, but it was God's sovereignty that allowed in this special case for Samuel to speak through this medium. Y'all walking with me? I know I'm taking my time going through this, but I don't want anybody confused when we leave. All right? Because God is over all. All right? Did that make sense? Okay. All right. So he says, the, All right, she said, what verse we at? 14. He said to her, okay, I went past that. Let's go 15. All right, thank you, brothers. Then Samuel said to Saul, why have you what? Disturbed me by bringing me up. And Samuel answered, I am greatly distressed, for the Philistines are waging war against me, and God has departed from me and no longer answers me, either through prophets or by dreams. Therefore, I have called you that you may make known to me what I should do. So Saul is very desperate here. Samuel said, why then do you ask me? Since the Lord has departed from you, has become your what? My God. And this leads to our third point. When you drift away from God, you forfeit heaven's protection and provision in your time of need. When you drift away from God, you forfeit heaven's protection and provision in your time of need. He said, why are you calling me? You think I'm going to go against God? And I'm at rest? And you disturbing me? What do you want me to say to you? God is true to his word. He's turned against you and has become your adversary. The Lord has done according as he spoke through me. For the Lord has torn the kingdom out of what? Your hand and given it to your neighbor, to David. As you did not obey the Lord and did not execute his fierce wrath on Amalek, so the Lord has done this thing to you this day. Moreover, catch this, the Lord will also give over Israel along with you into the hands of the Philistines. Therefore, tomorrow you and your what? Will be with the Lord. Have mercy. Gosh almighty. Y'all see that? Samuel is talking from the dead. He said, by this time tomorrow, y'all going to be with me. Basically, Saul, you're going to die tonight. And your son's going to die. See, be careful who you follow. Because you may catch a bullet that has their name on it, but because you're with them, you get it too. Be careful who you follow. Because the drug they get addicted to, you may get addicted to worse because you were hanging with them too close. Be careful who you follow. Now, this is what I like about this. This confirms that Saul was saved. This confirms that Saul was still saved. Because Samuel said, you're going to be with me. Saul, although God's anointing was pulled off of Saul, he was still God's child. And this same process can happen to us when we drift from God. He said, you will be with me. You and your sons will be with me. Indeed, the Lord will give over the army of Israel into the hands of the Philistines. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you for showing us, Father God, that when we disobey your voice, we start to drift from you. And if we drift from you, Father God, there is no help coming from heaven. When we drift from you, Lord, we need you. We need you every day, Father God, to lead us and to guide us. And speak to us, Father. Help us not to be like Saul, Lord. Help us not to be removed from the blessings that you have for us, Father. But help us to walk the straight and narrow, Father God. Help us, Lord, to have understanding of your word and your truths. Lord, I pray, Lord, that if somebody's under the sound of my voice, Father God, that if they do not love Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, I pray, Lord, that they would give their lives to Jesus today before it's too late.